Good morning, everybody. School Talks are coming at you live from my house, and it's Monday, August. It's Wednesday. Oh, my heavens. The whole week has gotten so discombobulated because we didn't meet on Monday because I had a trial Monday morning, and that was intense. So we took care of that, thank God. And, of course, yesterday was Tisha B'Av, and here we are Wednesday. So Wednesday, August 14 of the year 24. Hope you had an uplifting, meaningful Tisha B'Av. I hope it went well for you, that you fasted easily, and that I hope that we all did tshuva and we all did the proper avoda for the day of Tisha B'Av. Okay, welcome aboard. Well, we're learning Tainus. We're learning about fast days. We're learning the tractate called Fast Day. Tainus couldn't be more appropriate. So we're on 3A. Let's get right to it. We're on the third line on 3A of Tainus. And it's going to start a little bit of a different. So again, it's not going to last very long. It's only a couple of lines. We're going to start with a statement of law. Then we're going to have an attack question and then an answer. I'm not that terribly happy with the answer, but nobody asks me my opinion, or at least they shouldn't bother to ask my opinion. I don't know. I'll let you hear it, and we'll see what you say. Tanya. This is the third line in. About five words in on the third line. Tanya was taught, of course, in a brisa. That's what the word Tanya always introduces. A brisa, a non-canonized Tanaitic piece of literature. Didn't make it into the Mishnah, but it's always discussed in the Talmud. Tanya was taught in a brisa as follows. We're going to try to find a scriptural source for the water libation. Where do we know water libations from? So Tanya was taught in a brisa, Rabbi Nosson Omer. Rabbi Nosson says, that the verse in Numbers, Bamidbar, chapter 28, verse 7, this is as good a biblical source as you're ever going to get. Bakodesh, Haseich Nesach Sheikh al Hashem. Bakodesh, literally in the holy, but over here it means on the holy altar. I would have thought it means in the Holy of Holies, because it says Bakodesh, which is in the holy. That's literally how you translate it. I could not translate that any better because there's no better way to translate it. Ba-Kodesh is like a contracted form of Be-Ha-Kodesh, which becomes Ba-Kodesh, which means in the holy. And I would have thought it maybe means in the Holy of Holies, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the holiest place in the whole wide world where the Kohen Gadol goes once a year on Yom Kippur. But that's not what it means over here. Over here it's going to be translated on the holy altar, on the Mizbeach. What should you do? Haseich, pour, nesech, a pouring, a libation, lashem. Oh, shechar, sorry. Nesech, shechar, pour, an intoxicating pouring, an intoxicating beverage, lashem, to the Almighty. Numbers 28. Okay? On the holy altar, pour a libation of intoxicating beverage to God. Says the Talmud, maybe this is, yeah, I guess the brisa continues. Because the brisa is a brisa. It's got to teach you something. It can't merely quote a pasuk. That's not acting like a brisa. The brisa quotes a pasuk and then normally explicates it, teaches you something from the pasuk. So here you have the explication. From the double expression, pour a pouring, pour a libation, so you can deduce from that, we're talking about two pourings, two libations. And here the Medrash kind of goes out on a limb, echad nisach hamayim, one is a pouring of water, a libation of water, the echad nisach hayayin, and the other is a pouring, a libation of wine. Okay, so because it says haseich nesach shecha, and specifically haseich nesach, pour a pouring, so therefore, for the rabbis, it seems to be a doubling of the language, and if it's a doubling of the language, then you learn out two things from it. I don't know what to say. I mean, you know what? Maybe it could have been Bakodesh Haseich Lashem. Maybe that's where they're going. Then it could have simply said, on the holy altar, pour to God. But because it says pour a pouring, pour out a libation, so therefore, the rabbis see a doubling over here. I'm not sure that I do, but for people like Rabbi Akiva, who's of the opinion And who doesn't love Rabbi Akiva? He said, there's no such thing as, like, you know, an unnecessary word or even a letter. You learn how things even from the tagging, even from the crowns that the sofrim write on top of the letters. I mean, everything is there for a reason. Others would say, no, Rabbi Akiva, the Torah often speaks medaber b'lashon or kilashon adam. In the way that a human being speaks, often the Torah will, you know, maybe have an extra word or something. And don't be bent out of shape. This is how, that's how human beings talk. And the Torah kind of, you know, follows that occasionally. It'll occasionally speak b'lashon b'nei adam or kilashon b'nei adam in the way that a human being talks. Rabbi Akiva doesn't have any of that. He's not interested in that. But okay, in all events, this is the brisa. When you want to know about a water libation, you learn it out according to this brisa. This is a good source. The pasuk in Numbers 28, on the holy altar, pour a pouring of intoxication to God. And because the language is doubled, therefore you know one is for wine and one is for water. Okay, that's the statement of law. Now we get the attack question. Ema tarvayu de chamra. Maybe they're both pourings of chamra, of wine. How do you know that one of them is equal to water? Maybe they're both wine. After all, think about it. This is a really good question. If the pasuk says, pour a pouring of intoxicating beverage to Hashem, so where is there room for water to shine in? I don't see that as an intoxicating beverage. I just don't. I mean, I don't see that. I see water as water, an intoxicating beverage as wine. And if the pasuk says pour an intoxicating beverage, so then pour wine. Where do you see water coming over here? And the truth is, that is an outstanding question. I mean, it's really a great, great attack question. What is your source? This pasuk doesn't seem like it's going to support it, that there's a water libation. I don't see where. Pasuk says to pour out an intoxicating pouring. That could be wine. It doesn't mean water. So how do you know water? That's the attack question. Here's the answer. In Cain, if that's true, if what you're asking is true, that both libations, because we have a doubling, and that we can't wiggle out of, by the way. We can't wiggle out of the doubling. The rabbis are intent on saying that pouring means it's got to be more than one. I wouldn't necessarily go along with that personally, but okay, I'm a nothing. And my opinion means absolutely zero. For them, they see the doubling of the language, pouring. Therefore, pour equals one, and pouring equals two. So you have two pourings. All right, fair enough. But how do I know that one of them is water? Says the Talmud, here's your answer. In Cain, if you are of the impression that really they should both be wine, and that seems to be your question, where do you see water shining in? They should both be wine. So then here's the answer. So then the Bible should have been written differently. The verse should have been, could have been written differently. Lichtov kra, let the scripture write as follows. That's an important phrase in Talmudic study. Lichtov kra, let the Bible have written it this way, you know, in the way that you want. But the Bible's not written that way. I mean, that's going to be the ultimate answer. If you're correct, then the Bible should have been written ABC, but it's not. It's not. It's written XYZ, and that supports us. Your question is good, but only if it were written ABC, then there'd be a takah problem. But it's not written the way you think it should be written. It's written a different way, and that different way supports us. It supports the statement of law and not your attack question. If both libations, again, are really of wine, and that's what you're asking in your attack question, the list of kra, then the verse write as follows. O hasech hesech, either both words should start with the letter hey, hasech hesech, pour a pouring, or o nasech nesech, or let both words start with the letter nun. Forget about the letter hey. It's one or the other. It should have been, according to you, if you're going to say, argue that both pourings should be of the same nature, the same, you know, item, wine, so then let the Bible write it like that. Let both words start with the same letter. That would imply the same exact beverage, the same exact fluid, the same exact drink, libation. If both words start with the letter Hey, Hasei Chesech, then I would be led to believe that they're both of the same exact origin. Hasei Chesech Shecha, poor and intoxicating pouring. And they both, still going to have to have two, but they both will be of the same substance. And the same substance would be intoxicating, wine. Or let it be Nasech Nesech. Both words, let it start with the letter Nun, the N sound. And let it be like that. They both have the same translation at the end of the day, pour a pouring. But the rabbis are picking up on the fact that the Bible writes Hasech Nesech. One word starts with the letter He. The other word starts with the letter Nun. Two different letters, two different letters, two different beverages, two different drinks, two different libations. One is going to be water, one's going to be wine. By virtue of the fact that the Bible decides to write it, God gives it to us in this form of Hasech Nesach, one with the letter Hey, one with the letter Nun, therefore two different letters, two different beverages. My Hasech Nesach? So what does it mean by this diverse spelling? Poor libation, either way it's going to mean the same. Poor libation, but you have two different letters. Hasech Nesach. So therefore, Shemat Minah, Chadimayach, V'chad Chamra. You learn from this that the pasuk is referring to two different pourings. One is water and one is wine because the letters are different. And if you wanted to hint, God wanted to hint to us that it should be only one form of beverage, then it would have written it appropriately like that with the same letter in the command, Hasech, and in the noun, Hesach, or Nasech Nesach. But because God was like using both letters, therefore he's hinting one pouring is wine and one pouring is water. And that's how you learn out that there is a scriptural source for the water libation. How about that? Okay, and that is a small little sugya that we just completed. Let's keep going. We got some more time over here. We're going to now revisit the mentioning of Mashiv Ruach Morid HaGeshem, because the Talmud can't let that alone. It's remember, I don't want to denigrate the Talmud, but it's a one-line declaration of fact. God makes the wind blow. He makes the rain fall. That's the whole thing. Mashiv Ruach Morid HaGeshem. It's four words. It's four Hebrew words. And we're spending a lot of ink on it. We want to know when we should start saying it. Ask four different rabbis, get four different opinions. No joke. Do you start on the first day? Maybe. Second day? First day? Yes. Second day? Yes. Sixth day? Yes. Seventh day? Yes. I mean, it's amazing. And when do you start saying it? Do you start saying it on the last day? Okay, maybe. Do you start saying it the first day? Maybe. Do you start saying it Shacharis or Musaf? I mean, everything's up for grabs. Everything is to be discussed. That's the beauty of the Talmud. And so we're trying to figure out, once again, when we begin the mentioning Mashiv Ruach. We're now going to quote a Mishnah, and we're going to see who among our rabbis that we know of, the four rabbis that we're familiar with from here in Tinus, who's going to be the author of that Mishnah, which is over in Sukkah. And hold on to your heads, because it's not going to be so obvious, and it's going to get ever so slightly confusing. So I'm warning you, let's just be careful. Let's go slowly and carefully through this little mini sugya, and then we'll let you go. Okay, here we go. Elahadetnan, but that which we learned in a Mishnah. Where's that Mishnah? In Sukkah, in the Gemara Sukkah. 42b, it's found. And when you see the word Tanan, the doubling of the letter Nun, you know it's a Mishnah. Elahadetnan, but that which we learned in a Mishnah in Sukkah. And what does it say in that Mishnah in Sukkah? It says, Nisach HaMayim Kol Shiva. The water libation service is performed all 7 days. And on its face value, at first blush, that means all 7 days of Sukkot. Because Sukkot is a seven-day holiday. And it's capped off with Shmini Atzeres, the eighth day, which is a very serious day. Right? So in ancient times, you had day number one. Day number one was stringent, which is what we have today. And my question is, was day seven of Sukkot stringent as well, Or was it like Chol HaMoed, and then you have Shemini Atzeres? Like, my impression is that the Torah says explicitly that on the seventh day of the holiday, it's a stringent day, and then comes Shemini Atzeres, and that day is also a stringent day with no work to be done. So I think that it was capped off with this, apparently, with a two-day holiday at the end of Sukkot. That's my understanding. We in the diaspora do it like this. First days are stringent. Day number one is biblical. Day number two is rabbinic. No work done either day. And then at the end of the holiday, you have Hoshana Rabbah. Could be that I was mistaken. Could be that the last day of Sukkot, even in ancient times, was a Chol HaMoed day, if you will. It was Hoshana Rabbah, where you make the big, you know, the big circles, you know, with seven hakafos. And then the last day is Shemini Atzeres, and that one and only one day in ancient times, they collapse, like they do today, they would collapse in Simchas Torah and Shemini Atzeres all into one big ball of wax. That's done in Israel today too, because they don't have a second day. So they do everything on that day. So Shemini Atzeres is the joyous day on which we do the prayers for Shemini Atzeres, and some say we should make the prayer for rain, and you do the hakafos. It's a very long davening. You do the seven hakafos. They don't split it up in Israel contemporarily. It's all one day. We split up the last 2 days into Shemini Atzeres day one and then Simchas Torah day two. That's how we do it in the diaspora. Okay, so let's hold cup, as we say. Hold on to your head. Keep your head on your shoulders. The Mishnah in Sukkah says the water libation service is performed all 7 days. Kol Shiva, all 7 days. Now, what do you think that means? I'm sure you think it means what I think it means when you read it first blush. It means all 7 days of Sukkot. And it's not necessarily talking about Shemini Atzeres, which is that other capstone holiday tacked on to the, what I'll call the eighth day of Sukkot. It's no longer Sukkot technically, though. I mean, we no longer sit in the Sukkah as a mitzvah. You do it, as maybe the Babli says we should. The Babylonian Talmud says we should do it. Nobody makes a bracha on it. I think we cover our bases by sitting in it, but it's not Sukkot. It's a whole thing. You don't take a little of an esrog on Shemini Atzeres. It's a holiday unto itself. So when you read in this Mishnah here in Sukkah, Yisroch HaMayim Kol Shiva, the pouring of the libation all 7 days, I don't know about you, but I think that that means 7 days of Sukkot. Day one all the way through day seven, call it a day. And then no more water libation, because then you have Shemini Atzeres, and there's no water libation in Shemini Atzeres. It's because we're not asking for, well, we're asking for, but it's a whole holiday unto itself, and there's no water libation then. It's just not the way it is. It's not that holiday. So when I see this Mishnah in Sukkah, I think, oh, okay, water libation all 7 days of Sukkah. That's what it seems like. Hold on to your head. Hold on to your, just hold on, Mani. Now, whose opinion is reflected in this ruling of the Mishnah in Sukkah, that the water libation service is performed all 7 days? Now we're going to go through a listing of some of the rabbis who've weighed in on when we start saying Mashivurach. It's usually tied to when, well, I'll let the Gemara flesh it out. Rabbi Yoshua, who wrote the Mishnah over there in Sukkah? That's the question on the table. If the Mishnah, you know, in Sukkah is written by Rabbi Joshua and it follows his opinion, well, wait a second. He ruled that we begin to mention rain on the eighth day, on Shemini Atzeres. So then Neimachad Yoma. So then the Mishnah, if it's Rabbi Yoshua writing it, then it should have written that the Mishnah should have written that the water libation service is performed on only one day, because it's tied together. The day that you start saying the prayer for rain, the day that you do the libation service, the water libation service is the day that you start saying Mashivaruch. He kind of ties that together. For all these rabbis, it's going to be wedded like that. It's going to be married to one to the other. If you If you do a water libation service on this day, then that's how many days left you've got for the libation service. Okay? That's when you start saying Machivarah. Very confusing. Okay. Again, the Mishnah in Sukkah says the water libation service is performed all 7 days. Whose opinion is that? What rabbi that we know could be the author of that Mishnah out there in Sukkah? Is it Rabbi Joshua? Well, he said, you begin to mention rain on the eighth day. That's Shmini Atzeres. So if you start saying, if you begin to mention rain on the last day imaginable of this holiday season, on Shmini Atzeres, so then you got to also say that that's when the Nisach HaMayim water libation service is held, on that day. So then you only have one day. And it's all tied up to Shmini Atzeres. How about that? Isn't that something? How could that possibly reflect the Mishnah in Sukkah? Mishnah in Sukkah said explicitly, the water libation service is performed all 7 days. How could that Mishnah be Rabbi Joshua's Mishnah if he feels that you start saying Mashivaruch on day eight, and the reason why you do that is because the water libation service is performed on the eighth day, and they're wedded together. So Rabbi Yoshua says you should be, you know, doing the water libation service only one day, Shmini Atzeres. So then how does that possibly reconcile itself to our Mishnah in Sukkah, which said 7 days you do the water libation? Rabbi Joshua is only allowing you one day on Shmini Atzeres, and that's the day that you say the declaration of Mashivaruch. And you do that because it's wedded together. That's when the water libation service is. And if that's when you say water, if that's when you do water libation, and that's when you do Mashivarah. So it's only one day. Well, that's not seven. So how can he be the author of the Mishnah in Sukkah? Good question, right? Right. I mean, that should be our question. We should be reading carefully. We continue. See Rabbi Akiva. If Rabbi Akiva is the author of the Mishnah in Sukkah, now what about him? What's his shita? He learns out from the Torah that the Nisach HaMayim service, the water libation service, starts on the sixth day of Sukkot. And so that's when you start saying Mashivaruch. If that's when you start the Nisach HaMayim, the water libation service, then that's when you start saying Mashivaruch on the sixth day of the holiday of Sukkot, on the sixth day. You're well into the holiday by then. And therefore, Trei Yomi, then the Mishnah should have said over there that the water libation services are performed for 2 days, and frankly, only 2 days, the sixth day and the seventh day. If he feels that's when you should start doing Nisach HaMayim, and therefore you start saying Mashivaruach, you only have 2 days to do it. If you do the Nisach HaMayim service on day six, so then you say Mashivaruach on day six, Mashivaruach on day seven, so that's 2 days. And yet the Mishnah was saying that we do the Nisach HaMayim service all seven. How could that possibly be Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva says you first start doing the Nisach HaMayim service on day six. You're well into the holiday by then. You've missed days one, two, three, four, and five. How is Rabbi Akiva supposed to be the author of that Mishnah, which says you do the Nisach HaMayim starting from day one? He says you start doing it from day six. That's quite a big difference. In Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and if it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, remember this listing of rabbis, temporarily leaving Rabbi Eliezer, who says you start things on day one. But if it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and he derived from Scripture that Nisach HaMayim starts on the second day of the holiday, on day two, then Shita Yomim, and the Mishnah should have said, 6 days are the days of Nisach HaMayim, not seven. So which one of these rabbis is the author of our Mishnah in Sukkah? If you were to ask me, I would say not a single one of them. Not a single one. Because not a single one of them is saying what Rabbi Eliezer is saying, that you start doing it on day one. He seems to be the winner. And he's not even brought over here. That's funny, right? He says you start in on day one. That's when you say Mashivaruch on day one. And the Mishnah itself says in Sukkah that you do Nisach HaMayim, the pouring of the pouring, the water libations, all 7 days. That's perfect, it seems to me. That is primo Rabbi Eliezer's position. Exactly. And yet he's not listed over here as one of the rabbis. So which one of them? Like, I would say not a single one of them is the author of the Mishnah. I would say Rabbi Eliezer is the author of the Mishnah. Not any one of these. Wait till you see what the Talmud answers. Just when you're thinking, oh, well, not a single one of them. And the winner is Rabbi Eliezer, because he says on day one, and that conforms with the Mishnah in Sukkah, that you do Nisach HaMayim all 7 days. So that's great. That seems to be his shita. That's his position. No. No, that would make way too much sense. I'm so sorry to say that, but sometimes you feel like that. That would just make too much sense. You say, which one, Rabbi Eliezer, slam dunk, let's move on. But no, well, listen to this. We're going to try to reconcile that Mishnah in Sukkah, which says Nisach HaMayim, water libation is 7 days. We're going to try to shtim that, reconcile that with who? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who had said that you begin, that the water libation started the second day, and therefore, that's when you start saying Mashiach on the second day. But according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, he says water libations commence on the second day. So how is that supposed to reconcile itself with our Mishnah, which says 7 days? It seems like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is only, holding 6 days. You know, you start on the second day of the holiday. So go, count on your fingers. Go from the second day of the holiday to the seventh. Okay? So you got the second day. And then the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. I count six. And sure enough, that's how the Talmud also counted a minute ago. If it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who derives from Scripture that the water libation services commenced on the second day, then Shita Yome. Then the Mishnah should have said that you have only 6 days of water libations. And yet the Mishnah in Sukkah does not say that. The Mishnah in Sukkah says 7 days. So how could it be Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, even if you wanted that to be the case? How could it be? Six does not equal seven. And yet, we're going to try our best to squeeze him in as a potential author of the Mishnah. So here is going to be how we're going to answer it, because this is, it's kind of an attack question. The statement of law and then an attack. An SOL plus an attack. So here's the answer. Welcome back. Wow. Okay. What do you have there? From whom? Us. Wow. Okay. My son Mendel's back from Chabad. His name is Menachem Mendel, so that makes all the sense in the world, right?
Yeah.
Answer to this question, how are you going to reconcile anybody to the Mishnah? Any one of these rabbis, how can you reconcile our listing of rabbis to the Mishnah in Sukkah? Says the Talmud, we're going to try our best. We're going to try to attribute the Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. I don't see how. He says 6 days of water libations, not seven. Yet the Mishnah in Sukkah says seven. How are you gonna force that round peg into a square hole? I don't know how you're gonna do that. I kind of do. I prepared it, but I'm not that satisfied with it. Listen, lo olam Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. At the end of the day, actually, it is indeed Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira who authored the Mishnah. Says the Talmud. Can you believe it? A man who says he should do it 6 days, he suddenly is the author of a Mishnah which says 7 days. You're going to ask me how, Plotzi. How are you going to explain that? The answer is not all that great. Trust me. I mean, we can try. I'm going to make a good college, good college effort, but I don't know what to do with this. Here. Actually, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is the author of the Mishnah in Sukkah. Usvira Lech Rabbi Yehuda Demasnisin. Okay? And Rabbi Yehuda agrees. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Okay, now we're going to really have to hold our heads, because now we're going to be introduced to Rabbi Yehuda, plain Rabbi Yehuda. Like my brother when he was being introduced, and Rabbi David Trank of Adelphi Yeshiva years ago, Alava Shalom, the Kol of Racha, said to the boys in the class, what's your name? Oh, my name is Shimon Zalman. Okay. What's your name? From Yeshaya. Okay. How about you? Goes to my brother, says, what's your name? He says, Mordechai. He says, Mordechai what? He says, I'm not sure I understand. What do you mean, what do you mean, Mordechai what? He says, what's your second name? He says, I don't have a second name. My name is Mordechai. He says, okay, you're Mordechai Stam. Because there was a Mordechai Yosef or something in the class already. And so my brother became Mordechai Stam, plain Mordechai. That was his second Hebrew name. I guess my parents couldn't afford to give him a second name at birth. I don't understand how that went. I mean, he was named for my grandfather Max or Mordechai. I only had one name. Go figure. I guess the great great grandparents couldn't afford in Europe, in the Shtetl, couldn't afford a second name. They just named him Mordechai. Anyway, so he became known as Mordechai Stam, plain Mordechai. And that's what we have over here. Rabbi Yehuda Stam. There's Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and we have Rabbi Yehuda, plain old Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? And we're going to try our best to reconcile Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who says 6 days, with our Mishnah and Sukkah, which says 7 days. Okay, so follow me. So how do you resolve this disparity between 6 days that he believes in and the Mishnah, which is 7 days? It's because he agrees with his colleague, another Rabbi Yehuda. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda number two, okay? Rabbi Yehuda Stam. Because Rabbi Yehuda Stam is recorded in the Talmud. Now we have another Mishnah. Are you not confused enough? I have two Rabbi Yehudas and I got two Mishnayos now. So it's really, truly a lot of moving parts over here. Now Rabbi Yehuda, plain old Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Stam, records his following teaching, the following Mishnah, the Tznan. We learn in the Mishnah. This is going to be a Sukkah 48b. The other one's 42b. I'm telling you, this is confusing, but stay with me. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Stam says, plain Rabbi Yehuda, in a second Mishnah, Belog Hayim Menasech Koshmona, the Kohen would pour the water libations with a vessel that held a log. The log, Hayim Menasech Koshmona, all 8 days of the festival. Again, this is a whole new Mishnah taught by a whole new Rabbi Yehuda. And that second Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Stam, plain old Rabbi Yehuda, in that other second Mishnah, teaches as follows. The Kohen would pour the water libations with a vessel that held a lug, the volume of 6 eggs, we're told. He would pour that water libation with a vessel that held the volume of 6 eggs all 8 days of the festival. All 8 days of the festival. In other words, it would continue through to Shmini Atzeres, according to Rabbi Yehuda Stam in that second Mishnah of Sukkah 48b. How about that? Yehuda ben Beseira says, no, 6 days, starting from day two, count all the way till the end of Sukkot and end it over there. And no, apparently, no water libations on Shmini Atzeres, which is the standalone, all by itself, holiday on the eighth day. Rabbi Yehuda Stam in the new Mishnah says that the Kohen would pour a water libation, all 8 days. 7 days of Sukkot, and then the eighth day of Shmini Atzeres. How about that? That's not Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. That's a whole other Rabbi Yehuda and a whole other Mishnah. So how are you going to reconcile anything? I don't see any reconciliation. I just don't. I mean, and neither should you. But watch the rabbinic magic over here. Umapek Rishon. Now, unlike Rabbi Yehuda Stam of the second Mishnah, which talks about a Kohen pouring water. Thank you. That was strange. Okay, so unlike Rabbi Yehuda of this, Rabbi the Stam, and hold cup, hold your head onto your shoulders. Unlike Rabbi Yehuda of this newest Mishnah, which talked about an 8 day pouring by a Kohen of water, our Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, our favorite Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who says you should start things off on day two, what did he say? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, he excludes the first day of Sukkot from the water libation service. He says it doesn't start until day two. So he leaves out day one. How is he going to reconcile himself with this new Mishnah? And Rabbi Yehuda Stam. Rabbi Yehuda Stam thinks he should do it all 8 days of water libation. That goes along with the Tumis. Meanwhile, our Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says start things on day two. And it should end on day seven. I don't think he mentions anything about Shmini Atzeres. But we're maybe going to try to kind of finagle him to talk about Shmini Atzeres. So watch this. So our Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, he excludes the first day of Sukkot from the water libation service. That's exactly what he does. He doesn't think you should bring a water libation service on day one. He says you start doing it on day two. And therefore, that's when you start saying Mashiv Aruch, because it's wedded to the Nisach HaMayim service. When do you start saying Mashiv Aruch? When you start doing the water libation. That's Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. We've been through him a lot. We know his sita. Okay? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, he excludes the first day of Sukkot. So how are we going to ever try to reconcile him and make him the author of a Mishnah in Sukkah, the first Mishnah that we're talking about today, which says that water libation is all 7 days? A man who thinks only 6 days should go is not saying 7 days. So where is this a proof? Ma'ayel Shmini. But he goes along with Rabbi Yehuda Stam. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda Stam, plain Rabbi Yehuda, in including the eighth day. Kind of like that. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Up until now, we thought that he starts on day two of the holiday of Sukkot and presumably ends on day seven. And that's where you get 6 days of water libations. Now we're being told, well, not so fast. Maybe he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda Stam in the second Mishnah that you should actually pour on Shmini Atzeres too. Where do you see that? I don't know. I truly don't know. I'm not going to say they're just making it up out of the blue, but it is a little bit strange. We thought, quite right, I think, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira feels 6 days and only 6 days. He's been on record like that. So suddenly it's going to be seven? Because he's going to include Shmini Atzeres? Where do you see he includes Shmini Atzeres? Because you're telling me that? He agrees with his new colleague, Rabbi Yehuda Stam, that you should also pour on Shmini Atzeres, because we have another Mishnah out there which talks about a Kohen pouring all eight, seven Sukkot days, and one day Shmini Atzeres day. There's your eight. I don't know about you, but I'm not so happy. But we'll continue, because we have to. So again, they want to pin the last 6 days of Rabbi ben Beseira's Shita, days two through seven, and then tack on a Shmini Atzeres day. And six plus one, there's your seven. And now that you have seven, that equals the Mishnah in Sukkah, which said, as we opened up today's class, that you pour for 7 days. So according to this, he disagrees with the Rabbi Yehuda Stam in one aspect, but agrees with him that you have to do a water libation service on Shmini Atzeres. And so his 6 days on Sukkot water libations, plus the final day of Shmini Atzeres water libation, gives you seven. And seven, that's the magic number of the Mishnah in Sukkah. Are you happy? I don't know how you could be. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says what he says. How does he somehow shine in to read the Stam in a whole other Mishnah? He's saying he's going to agree with him that we're going to do a water libation of Shmini Atzeres. Well, how do you know that? I'll read this. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the water libation services are performed for a total of 7 days, day two through day eight, including day eight. This corresponds to the ruling of the Mishnah cited above. Six plus one is seven. We were looking for seven. I don't know. This is like really just kind of putting a square hole through the round peg, whatever. I'm not into it. I'm just not into it. I don't know what to say. I just don't know. That's the answer. Now we're going to be given an attack question. There's going to be an attack question and an answer. But you know what? It's going to take us well over. We're already at time. It's 11:15. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call it over here. I'll call it quits right now, because the class is supposed to go to 11:15. If I keep on going to explain the upcoming attack question, plus the upcoming answer to that, to finish off the whole little sugya, then we're going to be at noon. And that's just not fair to anybody. So let me let you go. With God's help, on Friday, we'll quickly review, the statement of law and the attack and this potential answer. And then we're going to see, we're going to see a new attack question and a new answer. We'll take it up from there fresh on Friday. We'll do a brief review. We're allowed to do that, you know. And then we're going to go into fresh material of an attack question and answer. And then we'll see where that takes us on Friday. I don't have any CLE to the best of my knowledge. We're continuing legal ed on Friday, so we're able to spend time together, 45 minutes. And I think we should be able to do the attack question and the answer and then a proof. And that'll take us the whole time. That should be good. That'll be fine. We're already taking a big chunk.
That's going to be great. Sirius is going to be good. That takes us, I think, down to the 2-dot.
Halfway through. Wishing everybody a great day. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much. Zai Gizunt. Have a very healthy, safe day. Safety and security for the people of the state of Israel, throughout the state of Israel, wherever they may be. May the Almighty give refuah shleima to everybody, especially Bunim Tzemach, my friend Barry, in the hospital, he should have refuah shleima, and success to the IDF, continued success, and refuah shleima to all those who need it in Israel and throughout the world, and please God, a release of the hostages, all in the source of our limud Torah over here that we did today. Hopefully, with God's help, Hashem will be merciful and grant our request for Yeshua's and refuah's for God's Klal Yisrael. Wishing everybody a great day. We'll see you Friday morning at 10:30 again. All the best. Bye-bye.